You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The podcast.
Good morning in New York City. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hey.
All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Pier 17 drying out a little bit after a real wet morning in the city. And you are, by the way, just so you know, because earlier you just gave your list of the top trios.
Mm-hmm.
And as predicted, you've missed some teams, apparently.
Who did I miss? Who did I miss now, man?
I think I enjoy like more the fact that you react so quickly to like the slightest criticism.
But it's not reacting to the criticism. It's like, do y'all listen to the show and how we go about doing things and understand the things that we say, opposed to no matter what we say, you're going to go against it and you're going to, like, come on, like, seriously. Yeah,
it's called passion, and we invite it, and we love it.
So who did I miss?
So let's
the
see.
Denver Broncos?
So Matt says,
okay, Matt,
via Twitter, Cousins is without a doubt better than Tannehill and Mayfield. Come on, man.
That's his opinion.
Okay.
That's not mine.
That's more opinion?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Let's see. There's oh, yeah, here it is. Dion. So no Ravens in the top trios?
No. How you – who? Well, outside Lamar.
Well, J.K., Andrews, really good tight end.
Yeah, but no.
No?
Because I like the other receivers and the other tight end better than I like Andrews.
Yeah,
and he doesn't have another receiver, and Dobbins isn't there yet like those running backs are.
How about Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Cole Beasley? I just wanted to see your face. I just wanted to see
Come
your
on,
face.
Man, stop.
I just wanted
Stop.
I did that one. No.
Stephon Diggs, yes. Josh Allen on his way. Where's the third?
That was one I wasn't going to read, but
where's the third? It's not that I don't like Buffalo. I like Brandon Bean and what he's been able to do. Yes. But who's the third guy?
Cole.
It's not. No. Good player, but no.
All right. Fair enough. But you do have Aaron Rodgers, and obviously you have that trio there, which is very good with Jones and Adams and. You know, adding Aaron Rodgers only makes them better. In fact, you'd argue he and Mahomes and his trio to
Aaron
the
Rodgers
best.
Is like the icing putting on a cake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cake is cool without the icing.
Right.
But once you put that icing, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
Oh, it turns it up to a whole nother level.
Takes it to a whole nother level.
It's like having strawberry shortcake without the strawberries.
So how many? Is that the salmon cheesecake again? Cheese steak again? Cheese steak. I know I keep doing it. But Jeff Darlington, who we had on earlier, did end up actually tweeting about the fact that we were talking about a salmon cheesesteak. Even he's like, I'm not trying it. I will knock it. Somebody says, don't knock it until you try it. And he says, I will knock it. I will not try it. So I still
stay
am trying to
away,
that one.
Jeff. Stay yeah, yeah. far away.
Yeah, that's the argument.
I should have turned his mic off, man.
If you want salmon, just get a piece of salmon, man.
That's it.
Why you got to try to put bread and cheese and just mess it up?
But you eat salmon burgers, though.
No, I don't.
Who does?
No, I don't.
In the meantime, let's discuss something that's going on between the Packers and the Jets, who play this week. And do you remember when Josh Johnson, who I'm reminded constantly that if the Jets need a veteran backup, he's the guy, which makes me go, great. Who's his backup then? Because he's going to need one. But Josh Johnson was so impressed with Zach Wilson and his ability to make certain types of throws. He said it reminds him of – this is not me saying this. He said this. It reminds him of Aaron Rodgers. It's quite the comparison. So they got to meet – this week working out together because the Packers and the Jets are training together. And, you know, I mean, you're going to get – like when a young player – like did you ever have it in your career where you happen to be on the same field with a legend I don't know if it was Jerry Rice or somebody that you were on the field with and you were like, damn, that's Jerry Rice.
You asked me the wrong question because you already know the answer. No, I don't. I wasn't a fanboy like that. Like, no, I was like, okay, I'm here to do my job. And it's not to sit around.
But you weren't
in
all the legend? Like, you weren't just like.
Nah. Uh-uh.
Nothing?
No, zero. I holler at you after the game, holler at you at the Super Bowl. I was a different breed, man. I wasn't into all of that. That didn't excite me.
Hmm.
You know,
who have you met in your life that you were like starry-eyed or fanboy?
I mean, there's certain.
It doesn't have to be a player. It could
no,
be
it's certain
anyone.
People. It's like.
Well, give me somebody.
Dr. Keith Black, who's a neurosurgeon, it was fascinating to meet him to understand exactly what it was that he mm-hmm. did. Like, if something was wrong with the President of the United States, they're flying him in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That to me is like big time. Like, that's like, you know, like, oh, God. You know, and then obviously Michael Jordan for the first time. That's,
how old were you?
MJ, I was in high school. I was like sophomore in high school.
See, to me, that's a bit of the problem when it comes to you and that, because you were so young and like you met Magic Johnson. Like you,
yeah.
You were around, especially growing up in LA the way you did uh-huh. and being around, whether it was USC when you were a kid or the Lakers yeah. when you were a kid, going around the Forum. You saw stars all the time, so you probably just aren't affected as much because you're numb to it.
No, it's guys outside of my field. My field was football. I didn't – Jerry Rice, okay, that's the GOAT. I get it. But I'm not, like, standing there watching him warm up going, wow, man, look how he just turns his hips. I don't – that just wasn't me.
All right.
I couldn't do it.
All right, well, you,
I just couldn't.
You say that. You were the number one pick in the draft. Zach Wilson was the number two pick in the draft. In fact, a lot higher than Aaron Rodgers was drafted. But still, on the field with Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson admits it was kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's, you know, I said it out here. You know, we're all technically at the same level now. We're all in the NFL, but it's like we all still kind of like, you know what, that's Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's kind of crazy. You know, but it's still, you know, a great tool for us just to be able to learn from him and kind of see what he's doing.
You get any chance to talk to Aaron and pick his brain at all? What were those conversations like?
Yeah, he's a cool guy. You know, he came up to me and I've talked to him before in the past, and you know, he's got a lot of knowledge. He's a smart dude, and he knows what's going on out there. So it's cool to just kind of ask him about footwork. You know, what's going on the field, and you know what he's seeing. And you know, it's you know, if I could spend more time with him, just keep asking questions, I would.
I mean, I would too.
Yeah,
you're around greatness. You want to do that. I mean, any chance I get to meet Greeny, I pick his brain all the time. Like, I'll do that.
I don't know. I just didn't do it. I didn't do it. Like you say, famous person, like President of the United States and President Clinton. So when I met him for the first time, I sat there and was just like, you know, oh my God, this
that's
is the
you
president.
Can learn from. Like,
this is the President of the United
right,
States.
But that's a, yeah, yeah.
That to
that's
me,
that's a pretty damn big deal. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I was a pro. I was a professional football player. I was young, and it was just like that to me excites me. Meeting one of my peers that play football that has done it in legendary, it didn't excite me.
So
meeting Chris Carter for the first time when we played the Minnesota Vikings, I was like, okay, that's Chris Carter, big deal. I could do the same thing. That's the way I look at it.
Zach Wilson said we're technically at the same level because we're both in the NFL, but he's at a whole other level. Like, he acknowledges it. Like,
but everybody thinks different. It does. I didn't think less of players. I just wasn't into the whole deal. Bill Parcells was my coach. I'm like, damn, that's Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
That to me was like, oh, okay, that's
so when
big
he
tuna.
Walked in the building, then that
yeah,
mattered.
Yeah, okay. That's the yeah. big tuna.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we right. got a shot now. We get ready to win some stuff,
right.
you know? Or Bill Belichick for the first time. I'm like, oh, that's the dude from Cleveland. You know, that to me was cool.
Amazing. That
or,
one day.
Or meeting Tony Dungy for the first time at the Pro Bowl or something like that.
That's actually amazing that there was a time in your life where Bill Belichick to you was that dude from Cleveland. That's just amazing.
You know,
yeah.
But I just remember him from his Giant days as mm-hmm. a defensive coordinator and how defense was ridiculous. And then when he was the Cleveland Browns,
Super Bowl
when he was the Cleveland
about
Browns
that.
Coach, I was at USC
mm-hmm.
and they came to watch or whatever to work out. And so I was like, you know, like, damn, that's what's up.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just like I said, certain people are starstruck different ways. Zach Wilson certainly is, and all he can hope is that he can have anything near a career, at least the length of a career. Think about that. 16 years from now, where will Zach Wilson be? Will he still be with the Jets? I certainly hope so. But the best part is that he thought was great was that there was a picture of the two of them shaking hands, and Aaron Rodgers posted it. So that's got to make him feel good, too. It's like, all right, you're acknowledging me as a peer. That's also a big deal for a young player. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So this was quite the story yesterday. It was just towards the end of the show when we got this. Actually, it was in the final segment of the show, where Steve Cohen, who's the new owner of the Mets, and the Mets had lost five in a row. Remember, they were a first-place team in their division starting the month. And then they went under 500 after losing five in a row. And Cohen tweeted yesterday morning that it's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive. The best teams have a more disciplined approach. The slugging and OPS numbers don't lie. It was very, dare I say, Steinbrenian of him to do this. You don't see that these days, but then again, social media has become a new tool for all types of communication. Did the Mets respond to their owner? They did. Eventually, they ended up winning their game yesterday, coming in extra innings in San Francisco, and now they head to LA for a big series with the Dodgers. To discuss that and more with us, let's go to Bobby Valentine. Bobby V, the former Mets manager, former manager in Major League Baseball, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Bobby V. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you. Hope everything is well on this lousy, rainy day here in Connecticut.
Bring up weather, because you know Key certainly hates it as an L.A. guy. What did you make, though? What did you make of what Cohen tweeted and how the team responded?
Well, I'm not sure that the team necessarily responded directly, but I thought he was spot on with what he said. You know,
the call dropped out. We'll try to get him back.
Bad weather.
In a second. Yeah, it's a bad signal.
Yeah, you don't have that problem out west.
He's not far away. He's in Connecticut.
Yeah, it's raining, I think, in Connecticut, though.
Well, you think that's affecting the cell phones?
Well, it might be windy, rainy. You know, y'all got all type of stuff out here.
Well, you didn't get a chance really to comment on it. So as we try to get Bobby B back, it's just like as a player, like, all right, he's back. We got you now?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that, guys.
No worries. So yeah. You were saying?
Well, I think I was saying he was spot on. You know, it's a team that could hit, and they haven't been hitting. And, you know, as a fan, as a player, as a ex-manager, you know, you don't want to see that kumbaya spirit every day when a team goes 2-9 and then they – win a few games, and then they go 0-5, and everyone's saying, hey, everything's just fine and rosy. We're going to be okay. You know, the owner has the right to voice his opinion, and I think his opinion was spot on. They're not hitting the way they should. That being said, I think they will, and I think that Steve knows the numbers. And if you look at the numbers and you realize how bad they are, you realize that they're going to go up and progress towards the mean, and maybe it will be a coincidental tweet that gets them going.
But as a player, let's go actually to you when you were a manager. Would that bother you that the owner would be public like that in criticism of players where you're trying to kind of handle the team and the personalities and manage all this stuff, or would you welcome that?
Well, remember, managers today can't do that. They have to be warm and fuzzy, and they have to always say all the nice things about everybody every day. Otherwise, the agents start calling, and everyone's upset over the dinner table and all that stuff. So, you know, I think somebody has to say it, and because young Luis Rojas is doing a fabulous job, I think, of managing, because it's really tough for him to do it because he'd have the back page and, you know, everything would be that all of a sudden he's not a player's manager anymore and all that stuff. I think somebody has to say it. And, you know, because Steve is on Twitter and likes to be out there, he said it. And again, you know, saying the truth never hurts. And, you know, saying that that offense has been unproductive and that they haven't been as selective as they should be is only the truth.
Skipper, how can the Mets turn things around and make a little bit of a postseason run?
Well, you know, they have a tough road right now. They're playing, really good teams on the West Coast, a lot different than the East Coast teams and the Eastern Division teams. I think the teams out West are head and shoulders above the Phillies and the Nats and the Marlins and maybe even the Braves. But the good news is that they've been really cold. And while they've been cold, the Braves have been really hot. And so they're 4.5 games behind the Braves. And if this was the last week of the season, I would say it's all over. But it's not the last week. There's 6 weeks left. And there's plenty of time for the Braves to get cold because they will. And if the Mets get hot at the same time, we're going to be in a dogfight right until the end.
Bobby Valentine joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline as we're discussing the Mets and other things baseball. So if I can ask you then something non-Met related, but it is a huge story in baseball, and what we're seeing is something we haven't seen in almost over a century, and that's Shohei Ohtani and what he's doing not only as a pitcher but a hitter. So he hit his 40th home run last night after also pitching 8 innings as well and getting the win. Just from what you've seen out of him, what is your reaction to just seeing what he's able to do, not only as a hitter but also as a pitcher this season?
He's special on both sides of the ball. He obviously pitches extremely well and loves the competition when he's out on the mound. And when my guys in Japan said, yes, he could do both. He could do both in the major leagues, too. I believed them when they said that. And I was a proponent of him coming here and playing both ways. And then he got injured and got shelved, and everyone forgot about the story. And now that he's healthy, the story is the headline. And I think it's a great headline. I think when you see geniuses at work, it's easy to appreciate them.
You manage in Japan, so what is the challenge for players to come over to play in the U.S., to play in the majors, and to be able to do what, again, like what he's doing is nothing we've seen from anybody before?
Oh, yeah. You know, the challenge of new leagues, different competition, different stadiums, different cities, different food, different language. I mean, every day it's a challenge when you wake up in a foreign country. He's been smiling the entire time. I hear that he's a terrific teammate. He's trying to acclimate himself to not only having a steak and potatoes after a game, but also kidding around with the guys in the dugout, learning the language, understanding some of the crazy customs that we have in our game, let alone our society. And my hat's off to him. It's a real challenge when everything that you do, from ordering your breakfast to striking out the guy with the bases loaded or hitting a home run against a major league pitcher, when everything is so challenging, it's easy to get frustrated. And he seems to be keeping himself above the fray at all times.
Yeah, he really has been a great story again for the Angels. And then, of course, the Angels have Mike Trout, but they're not the biggest story in Southern California. It's those L.A. Dodgers and how they just continue to load up. They add Scherzer. They get Trey Turner. They just seem to just continue to load up that roster. Are they, in your eyes, the team to beat again this year?
Yeah, I think that they're the best team in baseball, even though they might not win the division, because San Francisco's having such a phenomenal year. I challenge anyone, baseball fan or not, to name their starting rotation or even name 7 guys in their starting lineup, which makes it a real special story in San Francisco, a city that's having their issues outside of the ballpark, but inside the ballpark, that's a team that's come together, and obviously they're playing above their pay grade, and that's a great story too.
Bobby, we appreciate your time and your insight. All the best. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. If you happen to be living in Stanford, vote for Bobby V for mayor on November 2nd. I'm running unaffiliated. Have fun.
Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. You got it. All right. Also, athletic director at Sacred Heart University, doing great things up there in Connecticut. USC guy, too, by the way.
Yeah.
A couple of years there as well, right?
Bobby V.
You sound very excited about that.
What? Oh, USC guy? Oh,
hello, Trojan.
Well, yeah.
I thought you'd at least say fight on or something to him.
I didn't want him to lose signal.
That is true. But still, the Ohtani thing, though, is still just it's amazing to see what he's doing. And we have pitchers that, you know, you don't want him to run the bases because you don't want him to, you know, pull a hamstring. And he's,
you know, you don't even want him swinging the bat.
Right.
You just say,
pulling oblique and now I can't pitch. And he's 40 home runs and you're still throwing gas and striking guys
That's
out.
That's why I
and
said, I wonder
wins.
If he could play another sport and be, like, good at it.
Well, he's got he's got the hands. If you can hit a baseball, you could pretty much do anything.
Yeah, hand-eye coordination
right?
is
he's
good.
He's got that, and then he's got an arm.
He's athletic.
So there's plenty. There's a lot of stuff that he definitely can do, but it's just amazing to think
How big is he?
I don't know exactly. But
he looks
he
big.
He doesn't look small.
No, he looks big.
He's certainly got power.
Yeah.
But to go to you know this better than anybody as an athlete, legs, right?
Yeah.
As Herb Brooks once said, legs feed the wolf. He's to pitch, you've got to have legs.
Well, yeah,
to hit a home run, you got to have legs.
Got to have legs and a trunk.
So imagine just that he probably got great leg strength, which is really the base of everything. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, this will be a fun conversation to have as well with you and also with Key. This season for the NFL, is there the most overlooked team? We asked Mike Reese earlier if the Patriots were. He thinks maybe they are. Are there others that you can name? We'll discuss that after Key has this from DoorDash.
DoorDash here with Summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less? Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free. And get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood with Dash Pass and DoorDash app. And stay cool out there, real cool, because it is hot. Terms and conditions apply.
As a fan, this is amazing. This
no,
is the
is.
Time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Marty Smith, and I'm ready.
This is Max Kellerman, and the Giants are ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Carolina Panthers are ready.
Zelen Hahn, I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's in the bottom of the third. The pitch, and Ohtani swings, and he lifts a missile out into right center. That one is out of here. Home run, Shohei Ohtani. That is number 40 of the season. And how about tonight? On this Wednesday, it's showtime.
Angels Radio, AM 830, as the Angels superstar Shohei Ohtani hit his league-leading 40th home run of the season. You know what else he did? He also pitched eight innings right-hander improved to 8-1 on the season, allowing 6 hits, striking out 8, walking none in a 3-1 win over the Tigers. So the 40 home runs for Ohtani, it's the most hit by a pitcher in a single season. Yeah, thank you, Captain Obvious. The next up is Babe Ruth. He hit 34 in 1933. He also had 20 in 1921. More baseball as Freddie Freeman of the Braves hit for his second career cycle, the reigning NL MVP. He doubled in the first, tripled in the fourth, singled in the fifth, and hit his 27th home run, a two-run blast in the sixth, an 11-9 win over the Marlins. It was the seventh cycle in franchise history. Freeman also had one against Cincinnati in 2016. To the NBA, where there's an interesting story involving the Warriors dynasty. So Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, they say Steve Kerr and Bob Myers were responsible for that team's breakup. In an interview on Chips on Bleacher Report, Durant and Green said they believe the coach and the president GM were at fault for the way they handled the players' emotional back and forth on the floor that spilled over into the locker room after an overtime loss to the Clippers back in November 2018. That argument ultimately contributed to Durant leaving the team following the 2018-19 season. SportsCenter brought to you by Indeed. Is hiring becoming your second job? Quit the hassle and get on Indeed. You'll find great candidates fast with Instant Match. Just sponsor a post and instantly receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Too early for a Friday vibe, man. Too early, but I'll take it. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, brought to you by Goodyear. That's the Goodyear Hotline. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn with Key. And so as we've been talking about different topics of the NFL, we had Mike Reese on earlier. He covers the Patriots. And we asked him if teams are maybe overlooking the Patriots, our fans or us, media, overlooking the Patriots. Are we saying that? Are we not expecting them to be as good as maybe they can be? And he believed, yeah, I think we are overlooking them a little bit. We talk a lot about their quarterback position, and that's been the story, Mac Jones, Cam Newton. But overall, Key, as a team, I know you said when C.J. Mosley said don't sleep on the Jets defense, you said
two pillows.
Yeah,
I'm asleep. I have two pillows sleeping on them.
What about
real comfortable?
What about the Patriots, though? What should they or what could they be in the AFC?
I think they can win the AFC. I think they can.
They can get to a Super Bowl.
Absolutely, I think they can get to a Super Bowl, as long as the quarterback plays a certain way.
What way?
Like he's capable of playing.
Well, wait.
Now,
he is Cam Newton. You're
yeah. Saying. They're not.
All right, well, Cam Newton is capable of playing. Like which Cam Newton are we talking about? The MVP guy or who he is now at this point in his career?
Let's what 17, 18. Let's go back to 2018 prior to. That 2018 Cam
mm-hmm.
Newton,
because
mm-hmm. that's the Cam Newton that started off hot with Norv Turner as his offensive coordinator. If he plays like that with Bill Belichick and what they've got assembled around them, they're going to make some noise in AFC. I think a lot of people are still looking at last season and not fully understanding what the NFL and what the New England Patriots were going through. Bringing in a quarterback that had no offseason, no skill position players that meant anything to them. No defense that was good. I mean, the defense was good, but they didn't have some players that was key components to the defense.
Right.
And when you look at this year, they're taking into consideration the Cam Newton of last year. You can't do that. You got to think about everything that they got in the health and all of those sort of things and then say to yourself if they're going to be good or not.
You know, last year, 2,600 yards. He did play in 15 games. There were 7-8 with him as a starter. 8 touchdowns, but 10 interceptions. I mean, that's what everybody's looking. That's what they're looking at.
But
that's the last memory you have. You always go back to the last memory you have of a player.
The last time we saw you, you were throwing the ball away. You don't know what you're looking at. That means that you don't know what you're looking at. Because clearly, if you're going off his season last year, with everything that I just laid out for you, I mean, you know who their best receiver was? Do you even know?
I couldn't tell
he
you.
He wears number 16. His name is Jacoby Myers. He was an undrafted free agent out of North Carolina State 2 years ago and just really learning how to play the receiver position. That's who he basically had as his security blanket. Julian Edelman got hurt.
Right.
And he had nothing. Nothing. N'Keal Harry, he may not even make the team this year. So you gotta know those things before you start saying, oh my God, this team. They went out and upgraded their offensive line, brought Trent Brown back in after he left. Then on top of that, they went and paid money in free agency to tight ends, receivers, signed James White back, bringing in Matt Patricia. I mean, it's a different team than a year ago. So, yeah, you're sleeping on them if you don't think they can make no noise.
And you've got to also think, too, the Bill Belichick angle there, too, with his coaches, that coaching staff. They've been working together for such a long time, like, to get this team prepared. Not the same COVID impact as last year.
I didn't say they were going to win the Super Bowl, but I said they can make some noise in AFC.
Yeah, well, that's the question. If they can make noise in the AFC, then that's a team you shouldn't sleep on. All right. Other overlooked teams that we can consider. What about Washington? They didn't win the division. They didn't go to the playoffs last year. Their defense is still arguably one of the best in the NFC.
I think their defense was good last year. You question what their offense is.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Because if the defense plays a certain way, then the offense,
they're going to ground
and just manage the game and be successful at doing those sort of things. Because that's just who Ron Rivera is in general.
But we talk so much about the Cowboys in that division. We don't really say a lot about Washington, but do you feel like Washington
Well, the Cowboys got more sizzle.
Of course, they have sizzle, but can Washington be a team that
– They can win the division, too.
Can give the Cowboys competition
for that.
Oh,
yeah, they for sure can.
All right, how about Minnesota? Kind of feels like, they're on that treadmill of being just good enough.
I was about to say, I don't know if we're missing out on them, so to speak. I think the window for that major success for them has probably closed.
Mm-hmm. Because they're that team, I guess you would put it this way. We're not overlooking them. We're just looking.
Yeah, three years ago, you was like, oh, Minnesota getting ready to do something.
Yeah.
And then
it just didn't happen.
Womp, womp, yeah. You know.
Didn't happen. All right. How about the Chargers?
Up and coming.
Second year with Herbert, obviously.
Up and coming. New coach Staley.
Yep.
I don't know that you're – they're like Minnesota. We're just looking. I mean, you can't – because Kansas City's there. So how are you going to – push them over Kansas City. They're not ready for that yet.
How about the Cardinals? We overlooking them? The additions they made, that defense got better. I know, J.J. Watt, they're talking about the conditioning he's gone through and how he's ready for a season after
rejuvenated.
Yeah, exactly. Rejuvenate is the right word. Adding to the offense the way they did, some experience there with Green, and then obviously you have one of the best wide receivers in the game. And then Kyler Murray in this offense, another year in this offense.
I don't know that you're overlooking them. I think that they are
in a tough division.
Tough division, and they're like a 9-10 win type team. I don't see them doing much more than that. So I wouldn't say that we're overlooking them.
You just expect them to be competitive, but not
they
really
should be
more.
Competitive.
Right.
They should be competitive, but who knows what they're going to be.
About the Raiders.
Nah.
We've talked a lot about the Raiders.
I'm so tired of them.
Why are you like so dismissive, though? Why?
Because they keep giving me the same thing.
Their offense has been getting better each year. It's the defense that was their
issue.
They
keep, as a team, they're giving me the same thing. Heartache. I mean, come on now.
That is fair.
They didn't even sign any top receivers this year.
Well, they have Ruggs. I mean, they have
Ruggs had 20 catches last year.
Terrific tight end as well. I mean,
they have Waller at tight end. That's it. You got to have some
rebuilt
guys.
Rebuilt the offensive line once again. So
it's like the fourth year in a row they didn't rebuild the offensive line.
Are we overlooking any team that we are missing? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, at KJNZ, of course, on Twitter as well. Here's a question we asked yesterday. In fact, we got an answer from Dave Gettleman about this. Was drafting Saquon Barkley a mistake? Gettleman says no, but we've got someone that's going to tell you why it might have been. And we'll talk to him after I tell you about Straight Talk. So 5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy 832 5G for only $299, all in America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
They're going to listen to what Saquon's body tells him about his recovery. So far, so good. But look, they're going to probably limit him at the start of camp. They'll bring Saquon Barkley along and make sure he's as ready as he can be.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Look at that. Just
watching Saquon Barkley, like a little, when healthy, I mean, would you
like
say
meatball
is special? Best way to describe it?
Man, he legit. That's one of the dudes, though, when legit, you're blocking for him, you got to make sure you move your dude out the way because he's going to run up your back.
That's go right, yeah.
He's going to go, and you don't want him running up your back because that's going to hurt. You know, that little dude, man, them legs, oh.
Keith, Zim used to always say when you have running backs like this, everybody on defense is at the point of attack because the ball can hit anywhere.
Yeah.
That guy can jump cut and be on another side of the line of scrimmage. Like, that's how explosive
everybody Saquon has is. To block.
Everybody has to maintain their leverage. You got to have gap integrity on your defense because Saquon is a threat to take it to the house from anywhere on the field. The
voice you hear is Chris Canty, who joins us in studio right now. Super Bowl champion, former Giant, in studio with us, Alan and Key as well. All right, so we're talking about Saquon and his return from injury this season, and great expectations certainly for him to get back to that level where he was. I mean, as a rookie, he was definitely special, and he could be a game changer, a huge game changer for the Giants in that offense. But I found this to be an interesting response, but I want to get your reaction to a couple of things. One thing here that Dave Gettleman said, the GM who did select him, number two in the draft, and what was a quarterback draft in 2018? So he was asked if he could go back to that draft, would he still take Saquon at number two?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's, you know, stuff happens. You know, not everything's perfect. And there are guys all over this league that get hurt. And big-time players. And he's done a great job rehabbing. And I feel the same way about him. He's different. And he's going to be ready to go when he's ready to go.
Obviously, though, that stuff does happen more to running backs. Is that not?
I don't know that that's true.
You don't believe that they have shorter career lives than maybe other positions because of maybe the hits that they
take? You know, Jordan, you know, really and truly, you can talk about injuries at any position. I would not make a different decision today that I made in 2018, plain and simple.
So that exchange is with ESPN's Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants. So after hearing all that, CC, what do you think about that exchange and what Gettleman said about how he would absolutely do it all over again?
Well, listening to it in real time, Dave Gettleman said really and truly about three or four times, and that was him buying time because he realized that Jordan Renan had him caught up. I mean, the answer to the question is no. You wouldn't take a running back with the second overall pick if you thought you were going to have back-to-back-to-back double-digit loss seasons. You wouldn't do that. It doesn't make sense. You don't rebuild around a running back. The running back is the finishing piece. See the Dallas Cowboys and what they did in 2016 when they thought they had Tony Romo in an offense that was ready to win championships. Like that, the Giants weren't there in 2018. What the Giants should have done was consider Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or trading down and getting Quentin Nelson like one of the other New York teams did, but they didn't decide to go that direction. They decided to take Saquon Barkley. And so I don't think they are going to get the return on investment from the number two overall pick from the 2018 draft class. It's just not possible. Now, can Saquon Barkley be a big piece of what the Giants do this year? Absolutely. And he has to be because Daniel Jones needs him to be. But in terms of what they should have done back in 2018, no. The answer is no. You don't take a running back with the second overall pick.
See, if a guy is special enough and you believe that, you take him. And if Dave Gettleman and the New York Giants, in my opinion, felt that way, then I don't see why not. Guys like that are once-in-a-lifetime gets. If he got hurt. Mm-hmm. If he comes back healthy and he gives the Giants 6 years of that, then taking him at number two is fine because he's going to help the quarterback. Look. It's a lot of different ways to build a team. You can start by getting a quarterback or a left tackle or a pass rusher or a shutdown corner. But in their case, they started with the running back and eventually, most likely, got the quarterback. And Canty mentioned Josh Allen. Yeah, they could have taken Josh Allen later on. But Josh Allen became Josh Allen once Brandon Bean made a decision to go get him a top-flight receiver in Stephon Diggs. Before that, Josh Allen wasn't $150 million Josh Allen. Josh Allen was question mark Josh mm-hmm, Allen. Mm-hmm. So you just got to let the year play out a little bit for the Giants and see if the quarterback that they took a year later turns out to start to turn the corner, so to speak.
Just to push back a little bit on what you're saying, Key, when you start talking about the positional value, I think that has to factor into what you do when you have the second overall pick too. I mean, because Jordan Renan hit it. The shelf life on a running back is not
no
the
question.
Same
that's
as a
why I said. That's why I said. If you get 6 years of that we like of Saquon Barkley
then
from
it was
here
worth
on,
it. Then it, was
then
worth
it might be worth it to the Giants. They may feel, okay, we know we're only going to have a certain shelf life. We're okay with that as long as they're okay with it. We might not be okay with it. I play. Let me see. The only running back I ever played with that went in the first round, I think, was Warrick Dunn. He's probably the only running back I ever played with. And D'Angelo Williams went late in the first round in Carolina, but I was at the end. Mm-hmm. And he was still phenomenal throughout his career. Everybody else was second, third. Curtis Martin was third round pick in the Hall of Fame. So, yes, you can take running backs later on and do well and get the same sort of production. But you might be passing on Adrian Peterson with Saquon Barkley. Do you want to do that? Are you passing on Eric Dickerson? Do you want to do that?
All right, the end result is obviously – so we really won't be able to judge this till the end. But right now, because of the injury, the missed time, and the losing, it looks like why would you do that when you ended up taking a quarterback in the next year? And we don't know still yet about that guy. But with that in mind, Dave Gettleman, with the picks that he's made, with the way he's built this team over the last couple of years, you feel like this is a real prove-it year for him as GM of the Giants. And I found it interesting that when John Mara was asked – you know, is Gettleman, is he somebody that really has to prove something this year to save his job? Mara said everyone, he said no, but then said everyone's on the hot seat. Doesn't that kind of mean that, okay, so then that means Gettleman is on the hot seat?
Yeah, he has to be, right? But I'm laughing because John Mara saying everybody should be on the hot seat. Clearly, the owner's not going to be on the hot seat. If the Giants have a bad season, John Mara's not going to sell the team. Right. Like, that's not going to happen. Like he'll be back in 2022. Now, Dave Gettleman is a big question mark, and rightfully so, because this is his baby. Like, he's put together this team. He's the one that made the critical decisions with the draft capital that the organization has had. He's the one that went out and had a really expensive free agency cycle and brought in guys like Dory Jackson and like a Kenny Golladay, guys that are big-ticket items but have injury histories as well. Like, he's got a lot that's on the line right now, and he's rolled the dice in a big way on this team being able to have success and being in the conversation for the playoffs in 2021. So, yeah, if the Giants don't come through, if they don't have a breakthrough season, if you're talking about a fifth consecutive double-digit loss season, then, yeah, I think it's fair to say not only are they going to be looking for a new quarterback, but they're probably going to be looking for a new general manager as well.
Even if they don't make the playoffs and they show some signs of that talent gelling together, he still could be in trouble. You know, if Daniel Jones takes a step or two forward, but Andrew Thomas doesn't play well.
Yeah.
Then, and then you start to say, well, wait a minute, man, you drafted him.
Yeah.
Or all of a sudden, Adoree Jackson comes up hobbled again. You signed him, but the team is playing a certain way. He still could be in trouble.
Yeah. No, that's something to certainly watch. Chris, thanks so much. Great to see you, my man. Chris Canty. Joining us in studio, giving us the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
He doesn't look he hates wearing suits. He hates guys that wear suits. He doesn't like me wearing a suit. He doesn't feel like you have to wear a suit to talk sports. But Key doesn't realize I like wearing a suit. I think you look terrific, man.
I think he looks great.
He looks neat and clean.
Why do you make himself conscious about himself? I feel like it's completely unnecessary.
Oh, man.